good news. Hallelujah. Super spiritual morning, Lord. Handa ba koshonde da ba rita na makila mama. Neta da ba bibabahata. Liko roborosha ta da maline. Le kalama mama. And I will show you my good favor. And others shall see my favor upon thee. And know that I am with thee. And the God thou prayest to, yea, is the God of heaven and earth, saith the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Amen. And amen and amen. Hallelujah. I might preach tonight on blessed to bring glory to God if the Lord lets me, but just bear with us. Father, we just thank you today. It's been a super spiritual morning already. We've heard a sermon already this morning. Father, as we receive the offering, we give because we trust that you will bless and keep us. But above all, we give because we love you and we consider the work of your kingdom worth investing in. And everyone said amen and amen. As Sean comes, I want to thank you for your giving. These services here are going over the air on radio, and we're grateful for that. It is an outreach, so we get the opportunity to invest here so that can happen. We're all a part of that. It's not my ministry, it's our ministry. And I just preach. That's all I do. But it takes, if we were not here in this setting, those tapes would not be available to be put on radio on Sunday morning. Live services that you're hearing here go out over the radio on Sunday morning for 1 hour. And we're grateful for that. Got some listeners that we know rush home to hear that from their church service. Amen? I think that's quite incredible. They're not even Pentecostal, but they honor the word of the Lord. Praise God. Amen. I want to talk again about some things today that I believe are very, very important to us. We're living in a time that everything that can be shaken is going to be shaken, so that which cannot be shaken might remain. I was going across the web last night, and I came across a commentary by David Wilkerson, who is now in his 70s, and he was talking about everything that can be shaken, and we've been preaching about that. Everything that can be shaken will be shaken, so that cannot be shaken might remain. It's a biblical principle. It's how God sifts things down. The Bible said of Jesus, he said he stands in the threshing floor, and his garner is in his hand. This is a huge fan that he used to literally, when the wheat was poured out, as they fanned it furiously, the chaff would be blown away, and only the grain would remain. And I'll tell you what's happening right now. Everybody that got into Jesus and got into the gospel to get rich are going to find out you better have a higher reason for following Jesus than just earthly gain. Can you say amen? You need a higher reason for following Jesus. You don't have to love Jesus Christ to follow him for riches and material gain. Amen? Is everybody on the same page with me? Amen? The get-rich gospel's days are limited because all of that is in jeopardy right now. Does God make people rich? On occasion he does, but he chooses who. Actually, he tells us that we're all rich if we know Christ as our Savior. And he tells us to be content with whatever we have if we understand and appreciate the kingdom. Amen? Said, you got food? How many had food this morning when you got up? If you didn't, we're going to take you to McDonald's right after the service. Amen? How many had food this morning? All right, this is a rhetorical question. How many put on clothing today? You had some clothes to put on your body. Amen? So you had food and raiment. Amen? The Bible said if you're a Christian, if you have Christ and food and raiment, therewith be, listen to this word, C-O-N-T-E-N-T, content. You know, it's the discontent that most of us got head over heels in debt from. If we were content with what we had, we wouldn't have used that plastic for something else. Where is he? Hallelujah. Well, I'll tell you, the Word of God not only goes out from the pulpit, it goes around corners. Anywhere you are in the building, it'll find you. It's discontent. Why do we get discontent? Because we get so busy with the affairs of life, we don't really, we're not really fulfilled spiritually like God wants to fulfill us. And when the message becomes material and not spiritual, how are we going to be fulfilled spiritually? we're going to do something the Bible said we shouldn't do, and that is suppose that gain is godliness. Can you say amen? That gain somehow is always associated with godliness. But the Bible is very clear, having food and raiment, we're to be content. Why? It goes on to say, for we brought nothing into this world, and we're not going to take anything of this world's substance out of this world. For godliness with contentment is great gain, or true riches. Say true riches. True riches. Hallelujah. Godliness with contentment. It'd be so great to see people thankful for what they have. And the best way, and if God wants to give you more, let God decide that. Just get thankful for what you have. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Wouldn't it be great to be thankful for the body you have? I'm not just talking about the TV and the microwave and the Lincoln. Can you say, man? I'm talking about the body that you're in. You're in a body today that I think I know enough about everybody in here that you're not having chemotherapy. Because I see your hair and I don't believe nobody's wearing a wig today. So you probably are not having chemotherapy because they're trying to kill cancer cells in your body. Oh, hallelujah. Yeah. Thank God. Don't look at Cheryl Teagues. Is she still around? I don't even know what happened. I don't even know the new ones. I'm old school. I have to go way back. They're actually getting away from the models that look like they're cocaine addicts. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, I see some people and I think they don't need to be on a poster. Somebody needs to take them and buy them a Big Mac. Can you say, man? They look like they need to eat. You can't be slim enough or rich enough for Hollywood. Hollywood has given us the wrong image. Godliness with contentment is great gain. You know what the Bible said about your wife? And we just got one fella sitting by one here, and one fella's got one, and she's right over there. Don't make me go get her. Amen. Amen. And here's a fella sitting by one right here, and here's a fella preaching with one right here. You know what the Bible said? Live joyfully with the wife of thy youth. Amen. That means be happy with the wife that you married. Amen. When you were young. And live joyfully with her. Don't live out your life saying, boy, did I make a wrong decision. Amen? Amen. I mean, whatever you got, you're stuck with. If you're a Christian, can you say amen? I know there's Christians divorcing, but that don't make it right. God says you're stuck with who you get, so pray about it. Amen. Ask me about it. Don't get desperate. Amen. Everybody's always trying to set Mike up. Yeah. I tried to get him to buy a chick car one time, but he didn't do it. He used sound judgment and got him a gas saver. But anyway, he said, I don't even want a girl that I have to have a chick car to get. And I thought, that's what I like to hear. Praise God. I tell you, I didn't have no chick car when I got married. I went to get hamburgers on our first day of our honeymoon, and I drove into the Sippin' Smack? I don't know what it was, over in Brandon, a hamburger joint where they curb service long, long ago in a galaxy, far, far away. Amen. But I remember my wedding night. I thought, I'm going to get us hamburgers, you know. We're going to have a great meal. We're going to do it up in style. The hamburger was great. French fries, wow. Every penny I had went in. The next meal we ate was an ag meal. I had brought stuff out of my ag garden from high school. Amen. And we ate corn on the cob and potatoes and green beans and green onions. Amen. I don't even think we had any cornbread, did we? We were vegetarian diet because we had no meat. Anyway, but I got over there and the car broke down. I'll never forget, the car broke down. It threw a rod. Amen. I never drove it again because I couldn't afford to fix it. I had to call my dad to come because I didn't have no AAA and no money in my pocket. It took everything I had for the hamburgers. Amen. and he come with a chain and pull the car back to the little old trailer that we borrowed from I won't even go there. It's just a little old mobile thing. It wasn't a big mobile home. It was a trailer. Amen. 8 wide and about 30 foot long. But anyway, that's where the lady I married was waiting for me. And I wondered, and she had no cell phone. This was before cell phones. And she had no telephone. I couldn't even tell her why I wasn't coming back. I don't know what went through her mind. Maybe he got cold feet and run off. I don't know what went through her mind. But it was so good to come in and tell her that the car's broke down, the hamburgers are cold, but we're together, and see her happy and content. Just to be together.
I've been spoiled.
She's been spoiled big time. Amen. But that's how real love works. That's how real love works. That's how real love works. God doesn't have to do something special after what he has done at the cross. And the love that flowed from him to me and from me back to him. Amen. God doesn't have to do some extraordinary thing to get my attention, my heart, and my affection. Can you say amen? Do you hear me? Amen. And he does extraordinary things in my life, but he don't have to, and I do not demand it. And if he did nothing but die for me on the cross, he would have my allegiance till the day I die. Oh, you didn't hear me. He would have my allegiance because he's got my heart. I love him because he first loved me. And to see her content with our love, and just to be together blew me away. And it made me want, when I could, to spoil her. I love the story of the angel. I tell it over and over again, but I can't help it. It's so fitting. On Monday morning, not Sunday morning when everyone's singing in the choir, but Monday morning when all right, amen. Monday morning. All the angels are before the Lord reporting about the people they're assigned to on the earth, the Christians. And here's this sound coming from the earth on Monday morning. Lord, I love you. I praise you. I honor you. I adore you. I thank you. Oh, Jesus, you're so wonderful to me. Hey, it's not Sunday morning. It's Monday morning. And that kind of stands out in heaven on Monday morning. Can you say amen? What are you listening to on Monday morning? Don't tell me. What are you doing on Monday morning? I mean, it's Sunday, you follow the song leader. What about Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday? God wants to hear some praise from you. Amen? Some gratitude from you. Hallelujah. And so he says, what's this all about? I hear praise. It's Monday. It's not Sunday. It's Monday. And I hear all this praise, and it's coming from a man on his way to work, driving in the traffic in his car. Then he looks at this host of angels saying, who's he? In other words, what angel's in charge of him? Who's he belong to? Which one of you? And an angel, a very proud angel, chest out, said, he's mine. He's mine. And God says, well, what does he want? Because usually when people get that, you know, devoted and thankful and grateful, they're in desperate need for something from God. Something usually in the physical, the material, financial, emotional. Can you say amen? Something's driven us to, oh, Lord, I love you. I love you. I praise you. I praise you because I need you. I need you. I need you. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? So what does he want? And the angel said, Lord, he doesn't want anything. What does he need, rather? He doesn't need anything. You blessed him. He's grateful for the blessing. He's thankful for what he has. And above all, he's thankful for you. And then the Lord says, well, angel, tell me, what does he need? Amen. And what does he want? What does he want? What does he need? In other words, is there anything else I can do in his life to bless him? Because he's blessing me right where he is for what he has. So many people look around envious at others. And a lot of times we're looking at sinful people that we're envious of. We look at their homes, their cars, their bodies, their cultural value. We look at them and say, boy, if I look like her, remember the back in the, I'm going to go back in the day now, when it was Camelot and John F. Kennedy was in office and the first lady became an icon, literally. And everybody wanted what look? What were people going to the hairdressers and asking for? The Jackie look. Everybody wanted the Jackie look. Amen. Everybody became discontent with their own look. It's almost like everybody's discontent with themselves. Everybody's wanting to look like somebody. If I dyed my hair blonde, I'd be a spitting image. That's enough of that, Pat. You know, I wouldn't even have to. I went to the dentist and I said, you know, I want teeth. I want teeth like Tom Cruise. I want teeth like Tom Cruise. I was kidding with the dentist. And a lady that was taking the bill, you know, she said, you don't want teeth like Tom Cruise. And I'd never really looked at Tom Cruise's teeth. Have you ever noticed there's a big old buck teeth right here? The front, it looked like one big old tooth right in the middle of the front or something. What, say it? Like Bugs Bunny, little, yeah, Tom Cruise. And I had never noticed that this movie star had Bugs Bunny teeth. Until I asked for teeth like him, said, you don't want teeth like him. You want, and the lady, she's about 60 years old. She said, you don't want teeth like Tom Cruise. You want teeth like Matthew McConaughey. McConaughey? Is that it? Yeah. That's whose teeth you want. I said, well, I'll just settle for my own teeth then. Amen. I might pick something worse than what I got. Amen. I'll settle for being me. Discontent drives us to seek contentment in other things. It drives us to not represent a kingdom of love. If I had come home and saw the discontent in Pamela, my new bride, it would have broke my heart into 1,000 pieces. I was doing the very best I could with what I had to be a blessing to her. And just so we could be together, she didn't ask for anything else. And that made me want to bless her. If I ever become a rich man, I will spoil her rotten. You may have to wait. Hallelujah. But wouldn't it be great to be loved for you? There are people that married money. They didn't marry for love. They married for position. They married for the convenience of money. And generally speaking, when a woman does that and marries a man for money, she's going to have to stay in a particular state even as she ages, because that man can get another one because he's got the money. And what a pressure it is not to be loved for who you are on the inside. You know, the Bible is so different. The value system in Scripture is so different. It says it's not what you are on the outside. Now, God, I'm going to tell you something. This should bless the ladies today. God made you beautiful, so He used you as the example about beauty. When He talks about beauty, He talks about you gals. He never talks about us guys. Can you say amen? He talks about you. God made you beautiful. God made you with softer. Amen. I don't mean you're soft on the inside, but He made you with softer features. Can you say amen? He just made you that way. Amen. And yet the Bible said the real beauty of a woman, as beautiful as He made you on the outside, has nothing to do with the outside of you. It's not the plaiting of the hair. I remember when we first got into Pentecost, they wouldn't even let you fix your hair. Amen. Because it said it's not the plaiting of the hair, so don't plait your hair. It also said it's not the putting on of gold, so we couldn't wear a ring. If you wear a ring, you're Jezebel or you're worldly. So I remember going to preach on radio, and I had on a short-sleeve shirt, and the guy I was preaching for had on a long-sleeve shirt buttoned down to then. It was hot up in Merritt Island. It was in the middle of the summertime of July, if I remember correctly. It was even hot in the radio station because of all the equipment with the air on. And I had on a short-sleeve shirt, a sports shirt, and a sports slacks. I mean, I'm not on television. I'm on the radio. Amen. And I remember the guy telling me that he was selling books at a convention of his denomination, and he had on a short-sleeve white shirt, with a tie, but it was short sleeve. Actually, it was quarter sleeve when it comes almost to the elbow. And he said an overseer, one of his district overseers, come by, took a look at him and said, I want you to get you a long sleeve white shirt, and I want it buttoned down to the wrist. You represent this, you're a minister and you represent. And I thought, my Lord. Dear, this is crazy. And the guy was telling me, I thought, well, here we are on the radio. Nobody's going to see me on the radio. But he was and he told me this story. It was amazing to him that I could be sanctified and called to preach and not have my long sleeve shirt buttoned down to the wrist. And I thought, Mike, I don't know where I was going with that, but amen. I thought I'd tell you, I feel comfortable preaching today. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. But people, it's not the outward. Amen. So much was put on the outward. Amen. And the Bible said, though the outward man perish, the inward man, the real you, the eternal you, the you that makes you what you are, no matter how good you may look without, you may be bitter and broken within. And all of that is a facade. What you're looking at is a facade in the mirror. It's going to pass away. Did you know what you see in a mirror right now is going to pass away? If you don't believe it, wait 20 years and take another look. It's deteriorating. We call it aging. It's deterioration. You know what arthritis is? It's the deterioration of bones that are not eternal. And they start deteriorating. Thank you for the heart. Hair deteriorates. I have learned how to cover my areas of deterioration pretty well. One day I'm going to just get me a short haircut for the summer, and then it'll be evident where my deterioration areas are. Amen. I can't stay buff forever. I used to be a gym rat. I used to love to go. I went 4 days a week, never missed a day. Amen. I loved it. I loved to get it. I worked out stress. I took it out on those. You know, Christians can't smack people. So I took it out on the weights, can you say, amen? I took all my anxieties and everything out on the weights, amen. I remember one day working out and going like this with my dumbbells and an inclined bench, and I was going dumbbells and I was struggling, and a bodybuilder came up behind me that used to spot me, big guy, had muscles where I don't even have places, amen. And he said, Preacher Bob, pretend the devil's right between those two dumbbells. Boy, that inspired me. Bang! Bang! Hallelujah. Amen. We had a good time and I kept the faith. But I looked at people and I thought, dear Lord, if I had a body like that, wouldn't Pamela just swoon? Amen. I'd never have a body like that. There was a lady there that had bigger muscles than me. Professional power lifter, Lisa. Lisa, what a name for this lady. Amen, who looked so much like a guy. Amen, wore muscle shirts every day and big old biceps. What a woman. Amen, you could, some of you just don't have the frame for her. You could work out 10 hours a day, 7 days a week, and never look like Lisa. And you might want to be thankful for that. We live in a whole society where people are discontent. We're discontent with where we live. We're discontent for what we wear. We're discontent with our bodies. Many of us get discontent with our mates, and a lot of people run hunting another one. Can you say, man? We get discontent with churches. We get discontent with preachers. We get discontent with certain foods. They ate manna that God sent them. Amen. And the texture was as coriander seed, and the taste was as wild honey. Amen. It was good food that God sent them. But after a while, they took that for granted and said, our soul loatheth this light bread. Discontent defeated them out in the wilderness. It set them up for a defeat in where they couldn't even go into Canaan land. They were discontent with God's provision. They said, we would compromise our freedom and our future and the ability to worship God freely. We would go back and be slaves in order to eat from the flesh pots of Egypt. And discontent is what was driving them. We've had a little fun with it this morning, but it really is a serious matter. Discontent will drive you to the world for what you should be receiving from your relationship with Jesus Christ. And when you go to the world to get it, the world sees you with the same values as them. And they ask themselves the question, why do I need your God or your Savior or your Jesus? Because the only thing that makes you happy is the only thing that makes us happy, and it don't make any of us happy for long. A new car won't make you happy for long. The new wears off. I don't care what kind it is, the new wears off. Amen? The new will wear off of your marriage. Oh yes, after 20 years it won't be just like it was the first 2 weeks. The love can grow deeper and stronger, but the new's going to wear off. Thank you for the hearty amens. How many wave at me if the new wears off? The new. I'm talking about the new. Remember when you went out on a date and you were in the bench seat instead of the bucket seat, and it looked like there was a two-headed monster because she couldn't wait to scoot over next to you? Remember when holding hands... I start to demonstrate with my... Forgive me, my brother. Amen. Remember when just holding hands like you're doing right now... See, these are newlyweds. They've only been married about a couple of years. Less than three, see? Look at that. They're holding hands. Okay. Remember when just, you couldn't walk anywhere. You're going down the mall. I saw a couple look like they were 80 in the mall. And they're walking down the mall hand in hand. And I thought, man, that is neat. Probably holding each other up, maybe stabilize it. But they were holding hands. I thought, that's really neat. I'll tell you something. My love for Pamela has deepened. It's a deeper love. I plan to die with this woman at my side. Amen. This is deeper. And having her by my side and Jesus in my heart, that's all I need to leave this world. Amen. Hallelujah. It's deeper than it was, isn't it? The new is not there, but the depth has come. And believe me, the deep love is better than the new. The new's going to wear off of your born-again experience. Did you know that? It's going to wear off. It really is. That euphoric feeling that you first had the first few weeks as a Christian is going to begin to wear off. And now you're a Christian. It's a given that Jesus died for you. And God wants your enthusiasm back. But you're not going to feel that same feeling when He drew you to that altar every day of your life. There will be times in your life that He will manifest Himself to you. But the majority of your life, He will require you to believe Him by sheer faith. I know that He's with me, and that knowledge comforts me. Whether He touches me today in a particular spiritual way or not, that knowledge is deep-seated in me, because that knowledge has come through something that has no variables to it. Amen. And that is the Word of God. Lo, I'm with you always is a promise from Jesus Christ, and I claim that promise when I don't feel Him, see Him, or sense Him. And I know that it's real in my life. Hallelujah. People that just seek experiences, never get grounded in the Word of God, will follow just about anyone that can give them a feeling. And they don't even know what they believe or what the person believes. They don't examine the doctrine, and it makes fools out of more Pentecostals, and it hurts the cause of the Spirit-filled movement. Our doctrinal error, our doctrinal ignorance, our doctrinal... You go to some meetings, everybody brings a Bible because they know at that meeting they're going to be taught the Word of God. Then there are other meetings where hardly anybody shows up with a Bible because they're not coming to be taught. They're coming to have hands laid on them. They're coming to get a word from the Lord. Remember, a guy came to our church and he was called the Silver-Haired Prophet. He had white hair and they called him the Silver-Haired Prophet. So he wanted to make sure people came back Sunday night and the crowd would grow, because that means the offering is going to grow, don't you know? Amen. So he said, tonight I'm going to... He called a few people out and told them some things. He said, but tonight I'm going to call everyone in the building forward and give everyone a word from the Lord. Okay, so there's a red flag right there. Amen. Jesus said, I don't say anything that he doesn't say. Can you say amen? And I don't do anything that I don't see my Father do. I'm not arbitrarily, amen, going to operate a gift. The gift is subject to the one who called and anointed. I would have healed everybody at the pool of Bethesda if I had the anointing that was on Jesus Christ. But the Father wanted one man to receive that. And Jesus approached one man, didn't he? Amen. It's not arbitrary. It's not for man to control, to manipulate people with a gift. And here's when the red flag really became fluorescent red. It's when he said, and don't be afraid to come, because everyone is going to receive a good prophecy. And I thought, I know some of these folk. Some people were living together in sin. How are they going to receive a good prophecy? Some people were filled with unforgiveness and bitterness. How are they going to receive a good prophecy when Jesus said, if you don't forgive your brother, God will not forgive you? How can you give someone a good, how can you promise good prophecies to everyone in a building when some people need to repent? Can you say amen? And I thought, he's lost me right here. Doesn't matter what glorious thing he says about your calling, your anointing, your ministry. God's hand is upon thee. God's blessing is upon. We all love to hear that. Can you say? But we need to hear what God has to say to us. And what God has to say to us this morning is that godliness with contentment is great gain. Because the whole world is still getting, ever getting, but never having enough. You can't tell me that a Hollywood star going into their fifth marriage has enough. Oh, the guy was thinking about if I only had blonde Brad Pitt. You know what Brad Pitt said in a recent interview with Rolling Stone magazine? He said, people think I have found it. People think I have found it because of Hollywood and because of all these things that I have. And he said, I'm going to be honest with you, I don't even know what it is. But I know this, I haven't found it. Well, I have found it because I found him. Can you say amen? If Christians would just begin, you know, they need what we have. We don't need to look envious at anybody's body, their house, their car, their whatever they have. Godliness with contentment is what makes you rich. Hallelujah. And if somebody won't love you for you, then they don't even know what love is. I'd hate to have to pump iron every day to keep my wife. Because love don't look that way. Love don't operate that way. Live joyfully with the wife of thy youth. Joyfully. Say it with me. Joyfully. Remember what a joy it was just to be together. Remember what a joy it was just to be saved? You remember when you first got saved? What a joy it was to go to church. What a joy. What a joy. Hey amen. I'm going to hear about my Redeemer. I'm going to hear about the one that saved me. What a joy. Hey amen. And there's other people been in church for years and they don't quite look as enthusiastic as you are. Because you still got the joy. We used to sing it. I've got that joy, 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 joy down in my soul. And it got so deep down in our soul that nobody sees it or senses it anymore. Ah, but that guy at work I was telling you about, it's just oozing out of him. He said, I love to talk to you. He apologized 3 times for holding me up after a long, hard night at work. He said, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to hold you. I said, it's okay. I'm being refreshed by the joy that is just spilling out of him. Well, what did he do? Did he get a vision? Was he taken up to third heaven? What experience did he get? He got saved. He got what we've had for years. Can you say amen? And he's so excited about that. And he's bold in his witness. He was never a bold man before. The Bible said, amen, the wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. He don't know a lot about theology yet, but he knows what happened to him. And it made him bold. And that's why he looked at a man in the eye that's going up the corporate ladder and said, well, how's that working for you? And the guy said, well, it really isn't. He said, well, maybe you need something else. And told him about Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
And how your real value, amen, is in the price that was paid for you to redeem your soul. Praise God. Whether you achieve great things in this world or not, your value is placed upon you by the precious blood of the cross. Wow, what a witness, what a testimony, what a truth. Amen. What happens if you got excited in your world? All of the people that you come in, I can't go to your school. They won't let me come in there and preach. But they gotta let you in. Because you're a teacher. And he can't preach except through his life, his attitude. I don't go to the shops my wife goes to. She does. I don't sit in the chair where her beautician does her hair. She sits in that chair. Amen? I don't go into your world. Shepherds feed the flock. Shepherds don't bear sheep. I mean, as a Christian, I should be bearing sheep. But that's not part of my shepherd job. My shepherd job is to feed the flock. The flock bear fruit and bear sheep. And I'm part of the flock as well. And I pray that where I work, I'm sowing. Because I've had long conversations as a planting that someone else watered. And I watched God give the increase. And I said, Lord, I was part of that. We stood here for 30 minutes letting me testify 6 months ago, and now here's a Christian just bubbling over with the joy of Jesus. Wow, that's beautiful stuff. Incredible. So I go to work as an adventurer. I never know who God's going to bring across my path. I know one thing for sure, that God's counting on every one of you. He said it to begin this service today. He's anointed you, appointed you to go forth and bring forth fruit. And that your fruit might remain. And that character of Jesus is what draws people to listen to your testimony. Wow. But you got to start being excited about being saved again. I'm excited about being married for 45 years to this lady. I always speak excitedly about our marriage. Because it's weathered the storms. And there have been big storms. But we were talking the other day. We weathered the storm. We made it this far. Don't mean we let our guard down. It just says we've come this far by faith, leaning on the Lord. Can you say amen? One lady left our church because we talked so lovingly to one another all the time, and she was a single and didn't have that kind of relationship, and it made her feel bad. We don't want to make anybody feel bad, but I want to tell you your marriage can work. I'd like to give you confidence. God can keep what you commit to Him if both of you commit to Him. Can you say amen? It doesn't have to break down, and it doesn't have to fail. Hallelujah! Satan uses discontent to bring temptation. If you're not discontent, he can't tempt you. Old W.C. Fields movie says you can't cheat an honest man. There's a lot of things that greed makes you grab, that if greed wasn't there, you wouldn't grab. And if you didn't grab, you wouldn't get taken. My aunt invested in one of these get-rich-quick companies. She had a lot of money. The only person in the family that had a lot of money was my Aunt Bernice. She had a lot of it, and she loved it, and she wouldn't spend it. And most of us are living way better than she ever lived because her life was in having it, not buying anything with it. But she wanted more of it. She couldn't get enough of it. It's like Scrooge McDuck. She's just after more of it. And she found this company. She pulled a big portion of her money out of the bank, over $50,000, big to me, amen. And she invested in this high interest, high yield investment thing that you know, promised her more than what the bank was. And she had plenty, and she invested, but she wanted more. And the company she invested in was one of these companies where they get rich, they run, get the money and run. and the company goes bankrupt and goes under, and they're gone with the money, and the money can't be retrieved, and she lost $50,000 trying to make $5,000 more. Why? Because she wasn't content with what she had. Let me tell you about temptation and discontent. We'll try to close this morning, because I would love people to go out of here happy to be saved today.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Get in your car and say, glory to God, this thing's going to take me home. Turn the air on and say, hallelujah, I live in Florida with air conditioning. I had a car one time that was so old, when the air went out, I said, to fix the air is worth more than the car. I'll never get it out of it. For 2 days, I decided not to fix my air conditioner. On the third day, I said, fix that sucker. If I don't keep it for 6 more weeks, you got to fix this thing. Can you say amen? A friend of mine drives to work, his grandson, he's a pill. Oh, he's a pill. He's about 5 years old, you know, now. And he's sitting up with Grandpa and said they're going down the road, and his air had been broke for years in his car. Little old car, you know, like a sewing machine engine, little old bitty car. 3-cylinder engine it had in. I forgot what it was. 3-cylinder. I didn't know they made a 3-cylinder. But they did, because it was in his car. Or maybe it was a 4-cylinder and only 3 of them were working. I don't know. But anyway, he's driving down the road and he said, Papa, because his wife had a brand new Expedition, you know. I mean, his mama. And he said, Papa, turn on the air conditioner. This is a very small car. So my friend reached over and rolled down the window on his side. And the little boy looked bewildered, like, why? That's the air conditioner? Come on, Papa. Did you grow up with the Flintstones or what? Be content. Listen, God cannot be tempted with evil, book of James. Neither tempteth he any man. Every man, woman, boy, girl is tempted when they're led away of their own lust and enticed. Lust, when it is conceived, bringeth forth sin. Sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. Where does it all begin? Where do you have to nip it to stop it? At the point of discontent. If I'm not discontent with what I have, I'm grateful for what I have, I am not going to be reaching for something else. I don't have to compromise my faith to live happy and to be fulfilled. I can be faithful to my wife and be fulfilled in her. I love what one preacher said about fidelity to his wife. He said, I explore the whole of womanhood in my wife. I don't have to have a bunch of extramarital encounters. My wife fulfills all of that. Isn't that incredible? Contentment. Everybody say contentment. How many know that pretty thing in that frilly dress is going to be hard-pressed to tempt a man that's totally fulfilled in his wife? Chuck Swindoll said, and he's a pretty sophisticated preacher, he said, best way to avoid that kind of temptation is keep it hot at home. And I'm not talking about the air conditioner. Some of you will have to need it. I don't have to go in. Do I need to say any more? No, I don't have to say any more. Discontent will cause you and I to go into debt. Been there, done that, find myself slipping back. Usually it's discontent. Some things we just got to have. Somebody said, you never use a credit card. Honey, if I hadn't used credit cards in the past, I wouldn't have tires on my car.
Yeah.
If you got the cash, don't ever use it. But we're in a society where things cost so much and inflation has went up. Sometimes you have to do certain things. But there's certain things I don't need. Don't have to have. If I could be happy without it. Was it Mark Twain? Was it him who said, or that other fellow that spun the yarns? He said, we buy things we don't need with money we don't have. That's called credit. Good credit's essential to buy you a home, to get you a car. But there's a lot of things we don't need. Doesn't pertain to life or godliness. And the Old Testament said, why spend you money for that that's not bread? God gave them bread from heaven. And they took it for granted after a while and yearned for the flesh. Discontent. Say it with me. Discontent. Wouldn't it be one? Don't you think the first day they went out and saw that stuff on the ground and they were hungry and they saw God's provision? They said, manna. You know what? They called it manna. You know what that means in the Hebrew tongue, manna? You know what it means? It means, what is it? Or as he would say, what it is. What is it? What is it? They couldn't describe it, but they picked it up, they ate it, and it tastes like wild honey. The Hebrew scholars said beyond that, which meant it was sweet to the taste, said beyond, because God could give them something bland, amen? He could give them something that was tasteless, but he didn't, because he's a good and gracious God. Life could have been sustained through coarse bread, but he gave them something sweet. Everybody say something sweet. Glory be to God. Isn't he a good God today? But did they appreciate it and thank him and glorify him? After a while, they took that for granted, and because of discontent, they yearned for the flesh pots of Egypt. We'll trade our liberty and freedom to worship the true and living God. We'll trade the supernatural provision of God to be slaves again in Egypt as long as we can fulfill this craving of our flesh. Everybody say discontent. Plain and simple. Do you see it? What they say about his provision? Our soul loatheth this light bread. Let's go back to Egypt. Let's be enslaved. There are people that all that God has done for them spiritually, their flesh wins out, and they would rather compromise their faith to fulfill a fleshly desire because of discontent with Jesus Christ. That's why I urge people, don't just be a spectator on Sunday morning. Don't just sit and watch the service. Develop a relationship with Jesus that satisfies the deepest longings of your soul. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Everybody say the deepest longings of my soul. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What is going to keep me moral in an immoral world that not only is immoral but says it's okay to be immoral? What is going to keep me living by a different standard? Because I am so fulfilled in Jesus Christ, I don't want to compromise that peace, that joy, that fulfillment for some cheap thrill that I know is going to wear off and be gone and leave me compromised and without the relationship I need with the Lord. I want to follow Him. I want to be one of His disciples. And not just because of my duty and responsibility or fear He's going to whack me. I want the fulfillment. He said, my body is meat indeed. My blood is drink indeed. He that eats of my body drinks of my blood. That is a spiritual communion with Christ. He will never hunger. He will never thirst. He told the woman at the well, if you knew who it was, said, give me to drink, you'd ask of me, I'd give you living water, you'd never thirst again. It's this thirsting for something else that gets us into compromise and sin. But if we would rejoice and celebrate in what we have in Jesus, we can live the Christian life and live it joyfully and celebratory. Amen? Every Sunday morning ought to be a celebration of the faith. Hallelujah. Every time we walk in that door, we came here to celebrate. Amen? Amen? We had a guy come to our church as I closed this morning. He came trying to get people to take in foster children. Well, they're in between foster homes, abused children. They couldn't find enough homes for them. And he said, what better place to go than the Christian community to ask people to do that? He had a faith, but it was a long, distant faith from his childhood. And he sat as a secular man, basically, on our platform waiting to speak. And he used a little four-letter word at some point, and I was kind of nervous about him saying anything in the microphone. But anyway, the three-letter word in church now is a lot worse than that little four-letter word he used. How many know what the three-letter word is? Sin. Sin really runs people back. It makes them buggy. It drives them crazy. Because there's so many sinful people that are not dealing with it, that if you mention it, it really upsets them. Can you say, man, every time I preach on sin, we seem to lose a few folk. So I'm assuming that it's not bothering most of you, or else you're stuck here with somebody else, one or the other. But God has been good. Amen. I don't want sin to enslave me. I've been there. I've done that. I'm enjoying my freedom in Jesus Christ. Amen. Now I lay me down to sleep. Isn't it good that He giveth His beloved sleep? Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. If I should die before I wake, I know the Lord my soul will take. You can't buy that with Bill Gates' riches. Can you say amen? Angels will come for me, not demons. And I'm so grateful to be saved this morning. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And what I have food. I have raiment. I got wheels that get me where I want to go. Praise God. I got the wife of my youth. And you got the wife of your youth. You're not old yet. Amen. You just feel that way sometimes. Praise God. So what happens when we loathe the light bread? We start looking for other things. We find ourselves in the world going after what they go after. Worried about what they're worried about, concerned about what they're concerned about, seeking fulfillment in achievements and this and that. We get discontent. We're subject to temptation. And we forget the teachings and example of Jesus. Godliness with contentment is great gain. So if you're a Christian today and you're happy, your body is what? What is your body? What is your body? Something to be viewed by others and judged. Your body is way beyond that. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Wow. Somebody say, wow. I wouldn't trade my body for any leading man in Hollywood, because my body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. I want to keep it healthy. But above all, I want to keep it holy. Can you say amen? Did you know mirrors in a gym is not just so you can make sure that you're not cheating when you do your exercise? You know why there's wall-to-wall mirrors? Because I would see these guys with the muscles, you know. Do you know they shave their whole body, their backs, their legs, their arms? And then they put on baby oil all over to make that shiny thing to show. And then you lay out in the sun until you bake like a fish stick. So you can do what? Yeah, mirror, mirror on the wall. All right. Amen. And I watched them just do that. And I thought, my Lord in heaven. Amen. How vain can we be? And how concerned about other people? It's so good. My wife and I are aging. We're aging and we're changing. And there's pressure from this whole... Did you know Oprah is aging? Oprah has them cook delicious, low-cal meals. She's got a hired cook that can cook stuff that tastes like it's full of calories, but it isn't. So that you can be satisfied. Oprah, when she got down to a size 10... or 8 or whatever it was, and put on those guest jeans. She was telling everybody on her staff how to diet and exercise and everything else. And it was a little pleasing to me to know that Oprah is now tipping 200 again. Amen. Because it proves everybody don't have a high metabolism. Everybody can't live on watercress sandwiches and cucumber sandwiches. Without the bread. Yeah. Amen. Everybody can't live that way. Wouldn't it be great to marry somebody if you change? It's okay. They love you. They know the you. Wouldn't it be great to just find contentment? Yeah. The Bible spoke of ever getting. Ever getting. The whole world is like this. Never having enough. You marry somebody that's ever getting but never having enough, you won't be enough after a while. You won't be enough. And when that day comes, they'll start looking And there's always someone out there with the promise, sinful promise, I can fulfill you. This will fulfill you. Come get this. Come try that. Woman works all her life, puts her husband through college while she cashiers. He gets through medical school and he gets this fine house and they raise children, have grandchildren. He's now approaching 60 years old and he decides he's going to leave that woman. And he's going to get him that lady. You know why he did that? Because ever getting, never having enough. What does God want to do with Christians? Put them in contrast. And say, whatever I have with Christ in my heart and the appreciation for the kingdom of God, amen, I am content. I am happy. In fact, I am delighted with God's provision in my life. Yes. Somewhere in South Africa this morning, a preacher, not an American or a missionary, but a preacher down in South Africa, the mission organization has helped him to buy a brand new Schwinn bicycle. And he got up this morning to go 5 miles to preach from his village to another village. And he got out his shiny new Schwinn. Amen. And he said, thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Look what you have provided. I used to have to walk all the way and leave before sunup to get where I was going. But you provided me this wonderful bicycle. Oh, Lord, I love you. I praise you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. That's rich. Because there are people going to get up this morning. And they're going to get, amen, in a brand new Ford Expedition. And they're going to drive to church discontent. Jealousy is discontent. And envy is discontent over the possessions of another. Christian community needs to find our center again. Amen. And say, I have Jesus. I have everything I need. He fulfills the deepest longings of my heart. Not Pamela. Jesus. So my demand on her is not, you be my everything. No, you be a compliment to what God is giving me. Let me be a compliment to what God is giving you. But don't try to make somebody what only Jesus can be in your heart and in your life. And that way I can take the pressure off her. She doesn't have to do and be certain things to fulfill me. Amen? She can be who she is and fulfill me. Isn't that great? Maybe she didn't know that. Maybe she's hearing this. We joke a lot, but I have a feeling this is doing Pamela good this morning. Would it do you good to have a mate that loves you for who you are? Got a God that loves you that way. How many people in this room would like to pursue a relationship with Jesus that makes you absolutely content? Amen. If you achieve that, other people are going to notice. Because they're ever getting, but never having enough. There are preachers ever getting, but never having enough. Amen? They don't have enough. They got to make some kind of statement that I've arrived. Arrived where? In the kingdom of God, that has no value. Kingdom of God comes not with observation. You can't see it. It's not tangible. It's intangible. It's not meat and drink. It's not for self. It's not for self fulfillment. It's in the sense of the flesh. It's not meat and drink. It's righteousness. It's peace. And here's that relationship with Jesus. It's joy in the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost mediates the presence of Jesus in your life. He's not just a power force in your life. He's a mediator of the presence of Jesus in your life. Can you say amen? And there ain't nothing like the presence of Jesus in your life. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me close with this. It's my third closing. Usually we stop with the fourth one. Ulrich, true story. Is overturned. It breaks down in a mighty wind and wave, and it overturns. A man. Everyone gets off but one man. And one man is trapped in a little compartment in the oil rig. There's just enough air for his head to be above water. He's under water. He's trapped in this room with just a little bitty airspace. I got his name at home in the article from the paper. Some years ago it actually happened. He's breathing air in the pitch black with no way out. He's terrorized. His thought first is to pray, "Let me die, Lord, quickly." When it comes to the suffocating or the drowning, let it be quick. I know there's no way out of here, so just let it be quick. And he started praying, "Lord, let me die quickly. Don't let me suffer." See, things have mean nothing then. All of this junk we worry about means nothing then. Nothing. Nothing. But let me tell you what means everything. The Holy Spirit mediates the presence of Jesus in this world. He said, "Suddenly, I felt a person by me." Not feel, touch person, but a person. An undeniable presence of a person. And the Lord spoke to his heart and said, "I'm with you. Don't be afraid." What price? Bill Gates can't buy that, honey. It's not for sale. Can you say amen? And he said, a peace swept over him because of that presence of that person with him. And all the fear and the panic. And when you're in that situation, for peace to come, peace to live or die, it didn't matter at that point. There was no promise of deliverance. The promise was, "I'm with you." Somebody give God praise in this room. Amen. The air lasted. The presence stayed until divers came and got that room open and came in and took him to the surface. But the presence left when the divers showed up. But he said, "I would take nothing. Nothing for the one who was by me and said, 'I know him by name.' It was Jesus." Glory be to God. Oh, it is Jesus. The world needs the counsel that you're receiving. The world needs the comfort that you have available to you, saith the Lord. The world needs to see my people with peace, my people with joy, my people with contentment. That they may know what I can do for them in this life and in the world to come, saith the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. They need to know. God said something today. He said, "You're praying God send people here. You're not praying God send me to people." I think it's pretty obvious he's not just going to send people here. That's because that's not how it works. When revival comes, people don't just show up. They're touched by the lives of other people. And we've had months and years of investment of the Spirit into our lives. What we need to do now is lay aside all the junk. Quit worrying about this and that. Take ye no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, drink, wherewith you shall be clothed. For the Gentiles, the whole world outside the kingdom, seeketh after these things. But seek ye the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things will be added. God said, "This is stuff. I'll take care of the rest. You get centered in Christ and his kingdom work." Can you say, man, and everything else God will see to. Get content with the Lord. And your lot in life. You know, I could be discontent this morning because I'm not standing in the first church with 1,000 people to applaud me when I'm through preaching. If we have the applause in here, it may sound like 1,000, but it won't. No, it probably won't even sound like 1,000. Amen. But did you know this is where God sent me this morning? Isn't that incredible that he sent me here? And I'm... Hallelujah. I again say unto you, I desire to do extraordinary things through ordinary people, that my kingdom may be glorified, that my kingdom may be known by others, that my kingdom of light may penetrate the darkness, that those that sit in darkness might see, saith the Lord. God wants to put us in contrast to this old world about us. He wants to showcase us and show us off. And your contentment in Jesus Christ will help him to do it. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Will you stand to your feet today? I love him. How about you? Praise the Lord. What you going to do with all this power vested in you? What you going to do with it? What will be your legacy when you stand before the judgment seat of Christ? How'd you live out your days? What was the all-consuming passion of your life? Did it have anything to do? I mean, we all want souls to get saved. Don't agree with me. I'm talking about your life invested to that end. Who's going to be in heaven because you lived a lifetime on this earth? How many believe that's a legitimate question? Who's going to be in heaven because you lived a lifetime on this earth? 40, 50, 60, 70 years. Who's going to be in heaven because you as a Christian lived a lifetime on this earth? I believe we need some Christians that are so content in Jesus that other people can't help but notice the difference in our life. Amen? Some people are discontent because they're not accepted among their peers. And young people, it's not just young people that have peer pressure. We got it too. I have preacher peer pressure. There are circles I am not welcome in because of what I stand for. And I've learned to do without a lot of the fellowship that I've needed down through the years, simply because my message is not, well, I'm not kind of like Vance Havner. He said, I'm afraid I have preached myself out of many pulpits. But oh, the writings, the books, and the church he did pastor was mighty and strong for Jesus Christ. But he told the truth on Sunday morning. And he didn't embellish anything. Hallelujah. Who's going to be in heaven because we lived a lifetime directly because of your testimony, not your biblical knowledge, but your life, your joy, something in you that make other people say, I wish I had what he has, she has. I found myself thanking God for things at work that used to get my goat. How many know the devil knows you got a goat? And he knows where you got it tied. Can you say amen? And he knows how to get it on occasion. But he's hard-pressed to get your goat if you're thankful in all things. I started thanking God for the people who took advantage of me. Last night, I thanked God. I either had to come home happy or bitter. I had to find the strength to work 10 hours. I could take an attitude of, well, they didn't come. It's their job. I'm having to do my job and part of their job and wearing myself down. I got to preach in the morning. I got to say, blah, 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 blah. Or I can say, Lord, I thank you that I don't have cancer. I thank you that, Lord, both of my legs work. I thank you that I am bone tired, but I'm going to lay these bones down, rest a little while tonight, and get up in the morning and bring you honor and bring you glory. I thank you, Lord, that I can do this job. You know what they're going to think at work about what I did last night? Because people kept telling me I wouldn't do that if I was you. Well, they're not me. Amen. Amen. I wasn't asked to stay or told to stay. Something needed to be done. And I just stayed and did it and got her done. Praise God. Whatever you do, do it heartily as unto who? The company you work for? No, you can't be content that way. They'll take advantage of you and use you and won't appreciate you for it. They handed out Christmas cards from the CEO. Everybody else in the whole company but our plant got Christmas bonuses and we got zilch. So when the foreman handed out our check with the card from the CEO, he said, got a check for you and a piece of cardboard. Got a check. And you know where I saw all the Christmas cards from the CEO? In the garbage can in the men's room. What good is the sentiment in that car from somebody to... But you see, there I go again. Whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the CEO who's going to pat you on the head and give you a bonus. No, as unto the Lord Jesus Christ. For thou shalt be what? Thou shalt be blessed of Christ. Oh, the Lord's blessing and the joy and the peace of Jesus. That's what makes your light shine before men. That's part of the good works he's talking about. Can you say amen? Oh, I want to win people to Jesus. How about you? Praise God. Amen. How many in this room, once again, say, I want to find more contentment in where I am in my Christian walk? Raise your hand. Let God see it. I want to be content. Hallelujah. I want to find joy. I want to find joy on Monday morning. I want to be one of those people, amen, that the Lord says, what do they need? That I may bless them even more. I'm expecting blessings in 2009. I'm expecting the Lord just bless my socks off. And it may not mean that I get a bigger, better truck out there. Amen. Did you know I was so happy for my 93 this morning? Oh, my wife's got a Buick, by the way. And I get to drive it sometimes. But I was so happy to have a car with no payment today in these economic times. I was so glad I didn't have a new F-150 and costing me $350 a month. Can you say amen? It was so nice to get it. And the thing just keeps going and going and going and going. And the air works and the CD works. I'm just sitting there thinking how blessed I am. Somebody just passed me in an expedition and I thought, I wonder what their payment is. Somebody else passed me an Escalade and I wonder how much they got to pay for that. And I'm driving along in God's provision. Walked in to rent a truck, and guy said, I got one sitting in my yard. Would you like to buy one? I said, how much you want? He said, $1,500. I thought, boy, it must be a raggedy old truck. I said, man, you go get that sucker. Bring it down here. Amen. I borrowed $1,500 to buy that thing. Glory to God. 4.3 V8. Cold air, V6, yeah. Cold air conditioning, praise God. Amen. Drives like a dream. Power steering, power brakes. I love it. Don't worry about throwing stuff in the back of it. Don't worry. I wouldn't drive an Escalade to Lowe's and load junk in the back of that thing. It's too pretty. I wanted a truck I could bang around in. God give me the desire of my heart. And I feel so blessed. Oh, Brother Venable, but you're the pastor of the church. Don't you think people are going to think of a pastor coming up in that old pickup truck? Well, what you want your pastor to drive up in representing the kingdom of God? Does he have to drive a Mercedes to represent an invisible kingdom based on peace and love and fulfillment? Now, if you buy me one, I'm not too proud to drive it. Pastor's appreciation is coming up. You rented a motorcycle one year, and I thought y'all had bought it for me. What a letdown. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I don't need no motorcycle. I burned my nice pants legs on it coming to church. Bugs in my teeth, and you wouldn't listen to what I was saying. Sean knows about bugs. They get in your eyes, too. But God has been good to me, and I am so grateful. What's going to happen in 2009? The shaking is going to continue into 2009. Mr. Obama can't stop this shaking. He didn't start it. Amen. And newsflash, neither did the Republicans. God started this shaking. Amen. Can I leave you on a good note before we praise God here? Let me leave you on something good, something sweet to quit off on. Listening this week to a news broadcast on Moody, but it was a national news broadcast. You know how they let the national news come in? National Religious, NRB, I think it is, has a news agency like the Associated Press. Something's happening in England while we're standing here today. Something good is happening in England. You know what's happening in England? Church attendance. They have had the church just about go completely under, become secularized. Church attendance in the big churches, the small churches, church attendance is on the rise among young people. Young professionals in England. You know why? Because the economy is shaking so bad. Everything that we put our values out in is now beginning to shake. We may not retire at 50 and live in the Bahamas if you're in an investment firm or you're in this and you're in that vocation. All those plans that were made for the material, amen, are now up in the air. No one can say for certainty that any of these plans are going to be fulfilled. That person working on that job, amen, thinking I will retire at this job and live comfortably, may have to start all over again, amen, up in age and life. Everything that can be shaken, I believe God is doing the shaking. You know why? Because something is coming out of this. That, listen, what can't be shaken? The kingdom of God is a kingdom that cannot be moved. And it's still righteousness, it's still peace, it's still joy in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Having God at a time like this is so crucial. So they're coming to begin to embrace things that are not just tangible, but things that are spiritual. And it could, I'm not saying it is, they didn't say it was, but it could be a key to a revival in England. The economic shaking could be a key. Hey, they're coming to church. They're coming to hear about another kingdom. A kingdom which cannot be moved. When everything else shakes, find out what can't be shaken and stand on it. That's where I'm standing. Hallelujah. If my meal barrel runs low, I got a God who can pour back in it. Amen. If there's not enough food to go around, I know a God who multiplies fish and loaves. If my job closes tomorrow, I got a God who will make a way regardless of the economic climate or condition. Hallelujah. Amen. What's that worth? I can live confidently in a shaking time and not shake with the rest of the world. Amen. God wants you to meet your need. He wants to help you. But it begins with contentment. I am so happy with Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, you saw the hands that went up, the hearts that are open today. Lord, we want to worship you in a song. If people have to go, they may. But Lord, we just want to give you glory and honor. We want to seal this to our heart. We want to be safeguarded against temptation in every form that it takes. And it begins with being content with such things as we have, if we really have you. In the name of Jesus, these altars are always open. Anyone that Jesus ever draws, you are so welcome to come. Amen. Will you rejoice in one song before we go home this morning?